You know, if you spend any time at all navigating urban spaces,
Yeah.
or even just trying to back a tall vehicle out of your own driveway,
Oh, yeah.
you run into the same universal truth. You have these magnificent, mature trees, but their low-hanging branches can, well, they can quickly become a real menace.
They absolutely can. They block sight lines. They scrape against buildings.
Exactly. And you look at them and think, I just need a quick trim.
And that right there is the crucial point. Because what looks like a simple trim to most people, well, it moves pretty squarely into the realm of professional arboriculture.
So that's what we're doing a deep dive on today. The very specific technique used to solve this problem, crown lifting.
Crown lifting, yes.
For you listening, our goal is clarity. What is the actual professional definition of crown lifting? And I guess what makes it so different from just general pruning?
At its core, crown lifting is really just the selective removal of a tree's lower branches. But the key is that you're doing it to achieve a very specific, predetermined clearance from the ground.
Okay, so you're not touching the top.
Never. You're surgically managing the bottom of the crown.
So it's always about increasing that vertical space for access, for light, for visibility, things like that.
Precisely. And what really makes this deep dive necessary is understanding that this isn't just, common sense yard work. This is governed by some very serious professional standards.
Right. So our mission here is to explore when and why it's used in public spaces, in our own yards, and critically, the exact methods that ensure the tree stays healthy and stable.
We want to move beyond that idea of a quick trim and really understand what it takes to execute crown lifting safely and, effectively.
Okay, so let's jump right into the mechanics of it, the how. We get the practical needs, more light, space for cars. But why does the standard of care have to be so rigorous? Why is it so specific?
Because the tree is a living structure, any intervention, especially for a professional contractor, has to conform to a mandate. In the UK, and it's often referenced internationally, the standard is BS 3998.201 Tree Work Recommendations.
BS 3998.20N.
Yes. And that document is what elevates the whole practice from just maintenance to skilled, certified arboriculture.
So that's the rule book. If you're hiring someone, you want to know they follow this standard. What's the core principle it demands for crown lifting?
It really emphasizes two things. First, you have to have clear objectives. You need to know exactly how much clearance you need and why.
Okay, makes sense.
And second, and this is the most critical part, you have to use minimal intervention.
Minimal intervention.
That's the mantra. Take off the absolute least amount of tree structure you need to meet that objective. Every single cut is guided by that.
I can just imagine someone listening, though, asking, look, if I need 2.5 meters of clearance, what difference does it make which branch I cut as long as I get my 2.5 meters?
And that brings us to the most crucial technical detail. This is the difference between an expert who follows BS 3998 and, well, an amateur with a chainsaw. It all comes down to branch selection. The standard specifically advises removing only secondary branches wherever possible.
Secondary branches. Okay, so for the listener, let's break that down. What's the difference? We're talking about a minor cut versus a potentially tree-killing wound, right?
Absolutely. Think of a primary branch as one of those huge structural limbs growing right out of the main trunk.
Got it. The big ones.
The big ones. If you cut that, you leave a massive wound. A secondary branch, on the other hand, is a smaller one that grows off of that larger primary branch. You remove that instead, and the wound is exponentially smaller.
So cutting a primary branch means leaving this huge, vulnerable opening on the main stem. It could be a foot across.
That's right. And this is where a bit of tree biology becomes really vital. It's a concept called compartmentalization.
Compartmentalization.
Yes. When we get a cut, our bodies heal, they generate new tissue. Trees don't do that. They don't repair damaged wood. They seal it off. They compartmentalize it.
So they build a wall around the damage instead of patching the hole.
Exactly. Now imagine asking a tree to build a wall around a wound the size of an amputated limb. That's a primary branch cut. It takes enormous energy, and often, before it can finish, decay and fungi get in.
And that can compromise the whole trunk.
It can, but asking it to seal off a small wound from a secondary branch cut, that's like sealing a scratch. It's manageable, it fits that minimal intervention rule, and helps the tree long term.
That makes perfect sense. And beyond just infection, there's another really important requirement, right? Something about the tree's immediate safety, its structure.
Yes, you absolutely must retain a balanced crown structure.
What does that mean in practice?
It means if you overlift, if you take too much off the bottom, the tree can become top heavy. Think of a sailboat mast. If you remove all the weight from the bottom, the whole thing becomes unstable in high winds. It can lead to catastrophic failure.
So the standard is really about biology and physics, tying directly into safety.
It is.
Okay, so we've got the what and the how. Let's transition to the practical side of things. The why. Where do these risks meet the reality of, you know, our towns and our yards?
Well, the practical scenarios are pretty diverse, but they really all boil down to managing safety in space. Our sources point to four really common situations.
Okay, let's run through them. The first one, creating space for pedestrians or vehicles. This is the most obvious one, I think.
It's the one we all see. For vehicles, you often need 2.4 meters of clearance, sometimes more, depending on local rules. If branches are constantly hitting delivery trucks,
it's a problem for the truck and the tree.
Exactly. It's a maintenance nuisance that just accelerates damage to both.
Okay. Scenario two, visibility for signs and roads.
And this is where it moves from a nuisance to a serious liability. Low branches can completely hide a stop sign, a traffic signal.
And if an accident happens,
the property owner or the local authority could be held liable. So that lift becomes a public safety mandate.
Right. And number three, reducing contact with buildings or fences. We see this all the time.
Oh, it's constant. And it's a disaster for both. For the building, it can scrape off paint, tear up gutters. For the tree, that constant rubbing creates wounds that never get a chance to seal. It's a permanent open door for pathogens.
A slow motion battle between wood and metal.
A perfect way to put it.
And the last one, number four, is probably the most common one for homeowners. Improving aesthetics or letting in more light for the lawn.
Light penetration is huge. A crown that's too low and dense creates deep, perpetual shade. You get moss, damp ground, poor turf. A proper crown lift can totally change the feel of a garden, make it more open and usable without actually hurting the tree.
So the reasons range from just wanting a nicer lawn all the way up to avoiding legal liability. But let's pause here. What if I, as the homeowner, say, I want maximum light now. I want 5 meters of clearance. Why should a good arborist push back on that?
And that is the crucial professional line. That demand leads directly to the core risk we talked about, overlifting. If an arborist gives in and removes too much, they compromise that stability we mentioned, but they also permanently ruin the tree's form. It'll look awkward, unnaturally high. And sometimes the newly exposed bark can get damaged by the sun, something called sun scald. A competent professional has to refuse to sacrifice the tree's future for a short-term goal.
It brings it all full circle. The expertise is knowing what not to cut. And there's one more step, right? A legal one, before anyone even starts up a saw.
Absolutely mandatory. You have to get the appropriate permissions. This is so important, especially with protected trees.
What does that mean, a protected tree?
It might have what's called a tree preservation order, a TPO, or it could be in a conservation area. If that's the case, any work, even if it follows BS3998 perfectly, is illegal without consent from the local authority. The legal stuff always comes first.
It's just fascinating how this seemingly simple act of trimming low branches is woven together with biology, engineering, and legal compliance.
It really is. Crown lifting isn't just a physical act. It's a standardized process designed to maximize our benefit while doing the absolute minimum harm to the tree.
The ultimate compromise.
Exactly. And the success of that compromise really hinges on sticking to standards like BS3998. The real sign of a good job isn't how high the branches are today, but whether the tree looks balanced and healthy 10 years from now.
So let's synthesize the key takeaways for you, the listener. Crown lifting is all about increasing clearance, but its success depends entirely on avoiding those huge damaging wounds by targeting the smaller secondary branches.
Right. That maintains the tree's ability to seal off the damage, its ability to compartmentalize, and it keeps the crown structure perfectly balanced.
It prevents that top-heavy instability.
At the end of the day, the whole practice is a careful balancing act between our human needs for light, for access, and the long-term health of the tree itself. That distinction between a primary and a secondary branch, that's really the whole ballgame.
And since we've focused so much on that biological response, that idea of maximal clearance with minimal intervention, and the tree's slow process of walling off damage,
it really raises an important question for you to think about. As you look at trees in your own community, if a tree can live for hundreds of years and removing a big primary branch leaves a wound that takes decades to seal off, if it ever seals at all, what specific long-term impact does that difference in healing time have on a tree's vulnerability to weather, to disease, to its ability to just hold itself up over those many, many decades? That's the long-term thinking that defines truly professional tree care.